This is Renegade Broadcasting.
This is the European Mind with Set the Nemesis on Renegade Broadcasting.
Victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves the proof. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regulate your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, or what to feel.
What's up, everybody? This is Set the Nemesis, and hopefully everything is working properly. This is now my fourth or fifth show, and I still haven't worked out all the kinks. I'm a pretty busy guy. I didn't think I was going to be able to pull off the show today, but by the grace of the gods, I was able to figure it out. We got a lot of stuff going on in the news right now. I was watching, I'm in my motel room right now. I was working out of town today. I'm in Toronto. I don't live in Toronto, but I was working here, and it's nice to watch the boob tube. I was watching Trump, the live debate. He's in Michigan right now having a live debate. And, I haven't watched CNN in years, literally years. And I couldn't believe it. I heard someone else say something about it, but I was going from my my brother's hotel room back to my hotel room. And when I came back to my room, I literally heard over the lady speaking. So one of the good-looking ladies on CNN, and she was going on about how that if we don't start combating climate change right now, that we're going to see an increase in ISIS attacks. I shit you not, folks. That is literally what she said. And, you know, if it wasn't that I had already heard that they were trying to draw links like this, I would have never thought that. I would have thought, oh, you know, I just misheard that. And, you know, that couldn't be there. They would never try to say something so ridiculous. But yeah, I knew it when I heard it right away. I was like, wow, it's true. They are actually trying to draw those two links together. But anyways, I thought I would just kind of fill everybody in. So yeah, like I said, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to pull the show off tonight. My phone, isn't top of the line. It's a pretty nice phone for the price it is. And I was loading up Blog Talk Radio, and everything seemed to be going good. But when I switched to the studio, it basically just started to like act as if it was going to load, and then it would just shut down the studio altogether. So instead of losing you guys or only being able to broadcast part of the show, I was going to get Kyle to Skype me in directly. But then when I was over in my brother's room, he was going on, and anyways, not to get into too much detail, because I'm already getting into too much detail, my brother's old computer, he brings his laptop with him when we go work out of town, and he's like, you know what, just go ahead, figure it out, use it. And sure as shit, we were allowed to get, like, literally within 5 minutes of going live, we kind of patched his computer together and got Blog Talk Radio working on it. But anyways, enough of that. I don't know if you guys have seen this Economist magazine cover for 2016. Before I start going into the speculation about the 2016 magazine, I don't know if you guys have seen the 2015 magazine and everything that it predicted and kind of illustrated with visual art on the cover of what 2015 was going to be about. And, you know, if you're interested in what I'm talking about, you know, look, Google Economist magazine 2015 cover, and you will see that, you know, they have different things that they're illustrating on the cover of the Economist magazine, which is actually owned by the Rothschild and the Rockefellers, that the two families, or it could just be one that owns the Economist magazine. But regardless, there's a lot of things that they predicted in that magazine, there was the actual dates that of the Paris attacks that happened were on the front cover. Now, people would say that, you know, you're looking for things that aren't really there. And there that is true when you really think about it, because the exact date wasn't there, but there was two arrows pointed at the Mona Lisa. And I believe it was the French painting, the Mona Lisa. And basically, if you reverse the numbers of the arrows, it gave the exact date of when the attacks took place and many other things. You know, I know that The Economist, if you read it deeply, that many things have been documented and then came true
this
later.
This is The European Mind with Seth the Nemesis on
I just accidentally clicked that. Sorry, folks. Like I said, I'm just patching this together. But anyways, on the 2016 cover, it shows all these leaders from all over the world. And then you see Bill Clinton front and stage center of it's funny because some of the people are in color and some people are in black and white. And I think Bill Clinton is one of the ones that are in cover. Like I said, I would have this all so much better put together with, you know, the actually looking at the cover right now. But I'm just kind of freestyling right now off the top of my head as best as I can to give a half-assed podcast, literally. But yeah, so and there's just many different things with this Economist magazine and the different things that's on this that illustrate. None of the candidates are on the front of the magazine except for Hillary Clinton. And then, like I said, front and center is Bill Clinton. So which really makes me think and how much The Economist has been able to predict over the years with pinpoint accuracy. That, you know, this certain things were going to take place. It really makes me think that Hillary Clinton will win the presidential nomination, and she will become the president in 2016. Now, like I said, anything could happen, and you know, they could just it could be wishful thinking, and maybe Trump will get elected. I hope Trump gets elected. I was just watching the Michigan debate. He's in Michigan right now, and you know, they had a heckler out in the crowd that was calling him a bigot. And, you know, I feel sorry for that person that had the balls to actually stand up and say that to in the Trump crowd, because I couldn't imagine what happened to him right after. You know, he was only able to yell bigot and then immediately he was silenced. And Trump kind of just laughed it off and snickered it off. But I never knew how much Hillary Clinton was taken seriously. Because once you stop watching the boob tube, once you stop watching CNN and MSNBC and all these different channels, you really don't see things the way they are. But like I said, I hadn't watched CNN for years now. And now that I was going back to it, I mean, Hillary Clinton seems to be the person that they're portraying to be this calm, collective, cool leader with, you know, all the great ideas and solutions. And it's funny how when you look at Twitter, you see certain individuals that are kind of whenever they have 100,000 people following them and they're like a hardcore conservative or they're hardcore Trump or hardcore Bernie Sanders and hardcore Hillary Clinton. And I never really seen too many Hillary Clinton people. But once I started going looking for it, I mean, they're there and there's these hardcore Hillary Clinton supporters. And it just seems to me to be like a parallel universe. I really can't wrap my mind around stuff like that when I think that there is these Hillary Clinton supporters that are so serious about electing her as – because I guess that's where they were going with this, right? You know, the first black president and then, you know, the first woman president. And, you know, people say that there's documentation that's been leaked and, you know, she's been seen with the same woman over – you know, long periods of time, so on and so forth. I don't know how true that is, but they're saying that after she's elected, she's going to come out as a lesbian. But, I mean, like I said, I could really care less, but I mean, that does kind of see where they're going with it. Also, apparently there was some kind of attack today. I wasn't able to look, like I've been at work all day, so I haven't been able to look into the news, but apparently I think it was in Iraq or Afghanistan. There was an attack on some soldiers and stuff like that. And so, just kind of interesting, sad that happened to those soldiers, but just interesting that, you know, how CNN tries to portray it. It's just really, it's actually extremely sad when you see stuff like this happen. People, soldiers who fight for their country and they lose their lives. And then the way the media tries to cook the story and swing it in one direction, it's really unfortunate, but I guess that's just the nature of what's going on. And another thing I noticed when I was watching it is these analysts, these financial analysts, and the way they were talking about the Federal Reserve and how they were raising interest rates. I guess they did raise interest rates to 0.25%. So what's that, a quarter of a percent? I don't know if it's going to change. They're speculating it could go higher. And you know, when you listen to people like that I listen to, like Gerald Celente or a whole bunch of people, I'm just drawing blanks for the life of me right now. But I listen to a Jeff Berwick, SGT Report. A lot of these guys that have been documenting the what's going on in the world financially, in the real financial collapse that's kind of been in the works for a long period of time. Now that we never really ever left the financial collapse, this recession in 2007, 2008, that things have kind of gotten worse, and they've just continued to cook the books on unemployment and government assistance and so on and so forth. But when you listen to these analysts on CNN or Business Talk Network or Business News, BNN or whatever it was, it's just like, once again, you're looking into a parallel universe. They're talking about, I don't even want to get into it, but so I was on Twitter and I was just looking at what the news, there's the people that are on my feed. I guess that there was this girl, this young blonde haired, blue eyed girl that was, captured down and by a bunch of black guys, and they like burned her alive and stuff like that. And it's just like, as much as I want to report on all these hate crimes on white people, it's like, it's just, for me, it's just so disheartening and so discouraging. I really don't like talking about it. It's crazy to think that, cause for instance, I was only watching the TV, for maybe a total of, 10 minutes. And they were talking about this police officer who did this attack on this guy or whatever. And the police officer was white and the guy was black, the classic thing that they're trying to push right now. And it just shows the complete double standard of reality, and how we know with because they can only cover up statistics and crime so much. And once again, if you start talking about statistics or crimes against whites, that's racist. And I mean, you really it's just one of those things that you just cannot even discuss. You start saying that, white people are victimized, or that, a white woman's raped all the time, every day, different white women are raped by non-whites in the United States. I mean, it just, people who haven't heard that stuff before, their brains misfire. And they're like, no, what do you mean? That doesn't happen. Because they literally think that CNN and MSNBC and all these other, these channels would never lie to them. They think that they're just I don't really know how to explain it. Once you've been programmed for such a long period of time and you trust the TV like it's like a Bible, oh, I got a call coming in. Great. Hopefully it's not someone just listening in. This worked out perfect. Hey, caller, are you there? Are you just calling in to listen? Or?
I just tuned in right now. I don't know what your subject was about.
You know what? I can't even believe that this podcast came together today. I was working out of town today, and I was going to try to stream it on my phone. I had some stuff put aside that I was going to talk about, and then I wasn't able to run the application on my phone, and then it turned out that someone else had a computer, and I ended up was able to make it work. But if you want to just touch base on anything really that's going on in the news, like what's your opinion on Trump? Like what do you think of him?
Not too highly, sir.
No.
Actually, I could mention the fact that I watched a lady fly past me, cut in front of me in her car, and I wanted to be angry. As I pulled up beside her, I saw she had two small children in the back. And then as I come home today, I guess there was some lady in Las Vegas, if you saw this, that had a three-year-old little girl in her car and drove up on the sidewalk and hit 30-something people.
Yeah, the news that we get here in Canada is really watered down. We don't get like the like Las Vegas or Detroit or Fort Lauderdale or Miami, or we don't get that stuff. But yeah, clearly yeah. You do. So what happened?
Yeah, I don't know, or Lakeisha Davis or something like that. It seemed pretty horrific, and not only would it be horrific, but why would you put your child, you know, your progeny, in some sort of risk like that? I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. So, but you don't think highly of Trump, eh?
No, I think that he's, you know, that the tide is turning and people are tired and they're starting to speak out finally. And it's long overdue. If anything, I think he's just a mouthpiece or a pressure valve for trying to control. And
oh, that's so well put. That is so well put. That's exactly how I feel about it. And the problem is that as much as you like to relieve that pressure valve, and when you see Trump speaking, it's so nice to hear that no filter, just openly speaking for the people, by the people, to them, for the most part. You know from being around long enough that, you know, it's just, I mean, it's all bullshit. It's all show.
Well, I think it could be actually more damaging for us, going to lull people to sleep to think that that's the voice of the people. We actually have a say in this, but I think that that's quite the opposite. It's controlled opposition from the beginning. But, you know, I like the things he says, like, you know, it resonates with several people, you know, but in the end, we all know where his loyalties are.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's the argument that, you know, pro-whites will make, is that at least that the rhetoric that he is reiterating every day, you know, constantly, you know, speaking about the issues that people want to, you know, calling the president, the elected official stupid. And you know, even though he's got a good vocabulary and he seems to be pretty intellectually sophisticated, he still is doing what the people want, which creates dialogue among American citizens, which then, you know, they're essentially a right to be red-pilled. I can't remember who said that term, but it's so true. You know, people are more open to these topics. And, you know, like I said, he's talking about building this wall or whatever. And he goes, you know, if you guys want to see a good wall, look no farther than Israel's wall. You know, like, just stuff like that makes me really think sometimes. I'm like, oh, they're really letting him, like, release that pressure valve, like you said.
Well, might we be seeing another double-faced coin where he says all the things that we want to hear, but then he makes stupid comments when you know the man's not stupid, similar to Bush or Clinton.
Right.
Who would play it down to, I'm a dumb Texan, or Clinton, I'm from Arkansas, with, you know, a Rhodes scholar that can speak five languages. And Bush, you know, was much more articulate than he let on to be. I wonder if Trump is not mouthpiecing what, you know, the white public wants to hear, but then again, sabotaging us at the same time by saying, you know, not being an eloquent speaker like several people I've listened to on this radio network obviously are.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's so funny. I used to really like watching those Bush compliments of, you know, and he would say, I wish that people and fish, I believe that people and fish can coexist peacefully. Like, he would say some stuff that is so borderline, absolutely just, like, you would never, ever imagine in a million years that a president would say something in front of a giant group of people. That's just so stupid. But he would say it, and that's why, like, I bought into it. I thought that this guy was actually that dumb. But when someone broke it down the way you're saying it right now, like, someone did this to me recently, and it's true. It's like the ultimate joke. It's like he's, like, playing into it, buying into it. It's like he's hanging out with his buddies, and he goes, watch this, guys. I'm going to get in front of all of Michigan. Wait till you hear what I say this time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I used to be in business myself and bought a business from a man who owned 13 or 14 businesses, and he was in sales. And the way that he was so successful in sales is he would play down like he was a small-time Southerner, like he was real backwards, and people would think they were getting a better deal. He would lure them in, and I just wonder if Trump doesn't have the same ploy for us, much like a Bush or Clinton.
I know different businessmen that do the exact same thing. You know, if you were going to go sell a job, why would you drive up in, you know, the nice car? You're not going to you know, if you to convince a business, someone who you want to do business with, you know, you're not going to take the nice hot rod out of your garage and drive up and try to impress these people. You know, you're going to take whatever, one of your, whatever, beaten up minivan and to do it. So they think that, you know, this guy gets meat, essentially.
It was said before on this network about certain pastors going to their flocks, these shepherds, and delivering their sermons and then, you know, pulling up in a crappy car, but out behind the church, they've got a $80,000 Cadillac or something, you know. That's what I akin it to.
Yeah, exactly. I know that's really disturbing. I hate to think that people use the name of God or the name of Christ, even though I don't buy too much into Christianity or Catholicism, or I like more like the pagan stuff. But bothers.
Pardon me? Are you celebrating Yule?
Not really. Like, I mean, I try not to take anything too seriously, because it seems like every couple of years, people want to rewrite everything and say, yeah, well, maybe we shouldn't have been doing this, or we should have been doing this. Like, I like the pagan gods. I like you all. Like, I listened to the Red Ice podcast. I really enjoyed most, like, I didn't get to listen to too much of it, but I listened to, I think her name is Shauna Frenner there on Solar Storm on Sunday with Kyle. I listened to some of it. I was just doing other things. But, like, you know, I've looked into it, but I don't know.
Well, I think certain things resonate with our spirit and our culture of our people. And once things become commercialized, you should really begin to question something. What's internal inside of you, what you feel, what you resonate with? I mean, our people are nature people, and they want to capitalize on that because they see that, just like how they're pushing Trump out there now, because the wave is there, and they want to be on the top of it to steer it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's just so funny. I was writing the description of this podcast in my cell phone. It wasn't really working, and I'm reading it right now in the blog talk, and I spelled Economist completely wrong. That's so funny. Have you seen the Economist cover from 2015? Did you see that?
No, I haven't. You know, to be honest with you, this network, I've listened to this network prior when it was Oracle. Different people from that. It's real hard nowadays because for some reason it's blocked on almost everything, whether it's iPhone, Google, whatever. You know, it's real hard to keep up with it.
Well, that's because Kyle doesn't censor. I mean, you good luck finding someone that's not in bed with someone who's getting paid off by someone. Like, it's hard to find people who actually care and are doing this because they care. Like, it's a rare trait nowadays. So I think that's why, I mean, he speaks the truth, and sometimes the truth is hard to hear for some people, you know, and especially a lot of these interests that have more to lose by having them on their platform, or, you know, they have more to lose by, you know, hosting Renegade Broadcasting than they do by just, you know, saying, oh yeah, you can't listen to this, sorry.
Well, obviously, I mean, Kyle has never shied away from any topic or debating anyone. I think that any of our enemies or people with dissenting views would be welcome to come on here, but I don't think they want to come on to his show and debate him because he's ready for them.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is that I don't want to get into this whole thing because I hate people that attack other people when we're all trying to accomplish the same thing. You know, we want open debates on immigration, we want to preserve the white race, you know, we just want basic concepts that, you know, sure, they sound extreme to the average person who's not debriefed and don't understand these the systematic depopulation of the European people, but to people who understand it, you know, we're not really asking for much. And these people who, you know, I'm not going to name names and get too into it, but these people who parade around and pretend that they are doing something great and then, you know, won't even have an open discussion when Kyle says, hey, listen, you know, I don't agree with A, B, and C. I still think what you're doing is great. But, you know, let's talk about it live. And they're terrified of it because they know they're in the wrong. And that's what pisses me off. It's like, I don't understand it. Like, are we doing this for a good purpose, or are we doing this to make money? And it's just fucking sad.
Well, when you can have an open, honest debate, you know, you can ask the hard questions and you can't dance around them, you know. It must be hard being up in Canada, you know. I was just up there over by the island from Washington a few weeks ago, and to wake people up there, it's hard because they don't have here in Southern California. I'm on the border, so
I know people tell me all the time
going up to Vancouver, you know, or you know, Victoria.
I appreciate that sincerely. People tell me all the time, they're like, I can't believe you're from Canada and you woke up to all this stuff that's going on, you know. Like, you got up here, we still really have the illusion that everything's hunky-dory. But I always tell people it's not going to go on for much longer. I mean, I'm pessimistic. Sorry. I don't think things are going to stay hunky-dory for much longer.
The problem's being shipped in everywhere, sir.
Yeah, and the thing is I just... Oh, it's just so sad. You can't even have these topics with people because the problem is it's so ingrained into the culture now about tolerance and humanity, and everyone's like, you know, I don't really care. I don't like identifying as white. We don't really have a culture. You know, I don't really care what my grandkids look like. Like, I get it. I get people. That's what they think and say, but you just wait. Just wait 20 years. You're going to fucking feel totally different about the situation, you know?
Well, I don't think people are even thinking anymore. They're just following.
No,
we don't have enough leaders. There are leaders here, but we don't have enough leaders, and we have too many people thinking. Well, all of our culture has been usurped. You know, everything from, you know, these rainbow flags to this effeminizing men in our culture, and only our culture, it seems to be. You know, because they don't want to fight us. They want to subordinate us, to docile us, to, you know, basically.
Well, and that's why
go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I'm so bad for cutting people off. I apologize, bro. I've had a couple beers too, but you know, I feel myself getting more and more extreme, you know, when I say things, when I start seeing the anti-white programming and the push for interracial marriage. Like, I have friends that are mulatto. I have black, like, I'm attacking you or what you stand for.
Why do you even have to say that, though? That's my thing.
Exactly.
I have friends for this and that.
Why
you said earlier, all we want is a fair chance for everything, and
right,
that's exactly how I feel.
I
got to
constantly
feel the
defensive.
I'm an anti-supremacist, but you know what? I love my culture and my people, and I feel like we're being denigrated and pushed down and destroyed and be vilified in a way that's horrific. And if you can't see that, you obviously have blinders on.
Well, and that's the thing, right? I think that a lot of people, you know, because if you put your blinders on, I mean, you can still accomplish a lot. You can be an engineer, you can be a pilot, you can be all these great things and these multicultural utopias that they've created. Like, I mean, you could, you know, be different things. I mean,
Can you with quotas and you have to have this many people for this or that? The best man doesn't win, you know.
Devil's advocate. I'm just saying, like, you know, you can put your blinders on, you can play into this game of illusion and, you know, and say, yeah, you know, it's not so bad. But that's what I'm saying is for how long? And that's why I think that there's so many white people who are doing some things that later on they go, I don't know why I was doing that, or who is that person that was doing that? Because they're lacking that purpose, because they subconsciously know something's wrong. They know something's not right, right? And so they're looking for that thing, you know, and that's why a lot of people are buying into this fear. I see myself doing it too. You know, it's like the new addiction is like fear, and people want to believe that with all these new movies like 2012 and aliens are coming in to invade, or Project Blue Beam or whatever, the systematic crash of the economy and stuff like that. Like, people are like buying into this fear like it's the new addiction. And sometimes I got to stop myself and realize that I'm also doing it too. But at the same time, I'm not stupid enough to realize that a lot of these things are being slowly phased in over a period of time.
Well, if you just listen to what you said, it's buying into it. So somewhere there's money being made off of that to do that. Not only it's a multi-pronged front, you know, they're cashing in on us and achieving their agendas. So why would you ever do that? Strength is in us to reach up, and we shouldn't look for the savior of Putin or Trump or anything like has been said recently on your network. We should raise ourselves up and hold ourselves accountable, and the hardest thing to do is look in the mirror and see your own failures.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's a strange thing that's going on. But, I mean, there's somebody said, I'm not going to say her name, but, you know, she talks about how some days she wakes up and she feels like, you know, there's a good chance that, you know, people are going to slowly wake up and we're going to take this back and we're going to beat the odds. And then other days she wakes up and she goes, you know, we're so fucked. Like, we're like these Zionists, these you know who's that got the system by the balls and are systematically
the
taking
Eskimos.
It.
the Eskimos.
What are you, some kind of, what are you?
Yeah, the Eskimos. Yeah,
some
but
kind of anti-Eskimo.
I like to do things where I promote our culture and bring things back, and people look at me, and at first I get strong abrasion things, whether it's riding motorcycles through bad neighborhoods, doing things that propagate things, going out and planting a tree in a fucking neighborhood that's full of gangs and shit. People look at you at first, they're like, "What the fuck is this guy doing?" And then the older
that's
people
cool.
come out and be like, "Go home, kid, go home." And then the next thing you know, I've turned people, whether they're black, white, Mexican, or Chinese. That's how I do it.
Yeah. Well, I keep on hearing from pro-whites all the time. They're like, I find the easiest people I find to red pill are, non-whites.
It's hard to be in a room and be the one dissenting view. But if you're strong and you stay there and you don't chastise or name call or whatever, and you put your point out, eventually people are like magnets. They're drawn to strength. People are looking for something because they're so spiritually lost now.
Yeah, it's so true. I know, I found this myself too. And the thing is like I try to respect people, because as much as, you know, your friends and your family and stuff like that, you want to tell them the most, you want to explain to them how dire the situation is, right? They can only take so much of it, because whatever it is.
Oh, well, of course, you'll be ostracized most by the ones you're the closest to, of course.
Yeah, they don't want to hear it, right? But it's funny when Kyle was saying, you know, sometimes you gotta be like, you know, yeah, you don't really want to hear this anyway. Like, yeah, it's okay. Like, don't worry. And it's funny how when you play, like, yeah, like I'm saying, like, I can't remember how he put it, but it was just like, you essentially got to take the high road and just say, you know what, yeah, you're right. You don't really want to hear this. Don't worry about it, kind of thing. And that's when they come and they're more interested, you know. I can think of a couple people that have been doing that to me.
I feel like that a lot of people in our movement are stuck back in the truth movement, whether it's Alex Jones or whatever. We thought we found these cookies or Easter eggs to wake up, and we were smarter than everybody, so we want to shake people and wake them up. That's the wrong way, because you can preach all day long, but when you lead by example and do things and people see you sacrifice and make those things, that speaks louder than any kind of words you could speak to someone.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. I don't know. I have this real fucking schizophrenia with Alex Jones. I really do, because sometimes I watch him. I know. But, you know, I cannot imagine what it's like to walk in this guy's shoes. Like, I mean, he must really be beside himself all the time. I mean, I'm not trying to be a cock or whatever or buy into it that much, but sometimes I hear him talk and I swear I see a good person somewhere in there. And then other times, I don't know if he's like high or if he does drugs or something, or if something's up with him, but he's clearly working for the bad people. He's working for the enemy. And it's like just the schizophrenia back and forth, where sometimes I watch him and I'm just like, there's the good person. I know, you know, there's that good man. It sometimes it comes out. It's weird.
No, he should get an Oscar. He's following a script so well. I mean, he lays down so many Easter eggs and pushes things, but his over the top, because he's his acting and his over the top should be the red flag right there. You know, he's much like Trump. Trump is kind of similar to Alex Jones in being the loudmouth blowhard and says these things. And, you know, he'll give you these Easter eggs of truth and throw them out there, but then his blowhardedness tells you that he's not calm, cool, collected like a Ramsdale I can't remember the guy who was Scott Roberts the other day. Those guys, you know, yelling or freaking out. They're like deadpan, telling you this is this, this is this, this is, you know, we're not perfect, right, but this is the truth. This is the truth. I don't need to yell and scream or, I get it. That's full-heartedness.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, you mentioned Scott Roberts. I really like Scott Roberts. Sorry, I'm jumping all over the place. It's just go from one thing to the next.
There's great people. You are on probably the greatest network there is right now that I know of. And if there's something better, please tell me.
Yeah, I don't know. I just I hate to toot, you know, Kyle's horn. I haven't been here that long, and I hate to you know, toot Sinead's horn. And I really like Sean Surplus. Like I just you know, she, like, I don't even want to talk about them all, but I, you know, I just, when I hear them, I go, these are fucking good people, man. They're good people. There's
right,
other people in other places,
it.
Like there's other people, you know, I truly believe Henrik and Lana are good people. I truly, from the bottom of my heart, believe that they're good people. I could be wrong. I don't know, but I don't get that vibe from them. I think that, you know, anyways, I don't want to sit here and just talk about other people all day because it's fucking weird, but
right.
But yeah, it is what it is, you know. I like, there's all kinds of people that are good people. Like, I love listening to David Duke's daily you know, show and stuff like that. Like, thing is David, here we are, I just said I don't want to talk about people, but I put David Duke on such a pedestal. I expect so much of that man, and I really have to stop doing that, because, you know, he can only do so much, you know. And
I'll put his ideas on that pedestal, but I won't put the person, because, like, I think Robert, so here we go talking about names, and they say about people that talk about events, people that talk about people that talk about ideas, you know, all of that. But,
yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know where I was going with that. I had somewhere, but
yeah, Scott Roberts.
I
like Scott Roberts' pound per square inch of just information, the way he delivers it, and how he's on the ball, and how he attacks the enemy. Such a great, the way he does it, his delivery system. It's very effective. When I heard him for the first time, I was like, wow, this guy's ahead of the ball. But I could be wrong. I mean, I could just, people appeal like different styles. It's like, you know, certain people like different styles and genres of music. You know, people like sci-fi. Some people like sci-fi movies. Some people like comedy movies. So, you know, that's why probably so many people are into the rightstuff.biz, because, you know, they like the comedy and stuff like that. But, you know, different strokes for different folks.
I should amend what I said earlier about the fist pounding and stuff, because there are people that I've heard, you know, and a lot of their stuff may be overkill. I'm not going to name them, but take a pretty hard stance and say things, you know. I like some more satirical, but to the point, like a Terrible Tommy or someone like that, who can say his point, and maybe he did his stuff, but nowadays he's just pointing it out, you know. When you throw it out there, that's what it is, you know. If it's an undeniable,
I think
proof,
I've heard of
this
Terrible
is.
Tommy before. Who it brings up, but I've never, definitely going to check this person out. Who's Terrible Tommy?
He's from Fallbrook, over here in the San Diego County area. I don't believe he lives here. He's back, I think, in Iowa or something, Metzger or something like that.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah.
Tommy Metzger. That's your talk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Documentary. With what's that Jew? That Jew went in there. That tall Jew came in and interviewed him and followed him around, and he was acting all paranoid and stuff. He was worried that people were coming in to get him and stuff. But they can send the video anyway. That whole thing was very strange. I don't know if you've seen that video with Tommy Metzger, but
no. But I can imagine being in his shoes, that I'd be pretty fucking paranoid too, considering
right?
the lifestyle that he's led, and what happens to people like us. You know, when you look at Zundel and people like that, you know, we are in America, but don't get it confused.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but at the same time, that's why you just walk a fine line, and you don't do anything over the top or crazy. You know, you just talk about, you know, the truth.
Well, what's your fine line? Because look at the guy here. I can't think of his name.
Bonehill.
In San Diego. The guy in San Diego who lost his job, and they were talking about him.
John Friend.
Guy. John Friend.
John Friend.
Yeah, look at him.
Yeah, I really like John Friend. I really, really, really like him. Like, I fuck, man. Like, I don't know. Like, that's just it, right? Like, he's a good person. Like, I don't never talk to the guy. I never heard of him. But when I read his articles and when I hear him speak, I'm like, fuck, this guy's actually, once again, like, a really good person. So, yeah, and he had a very nice, good job, and someone went after him. Like, who are these fucking people, man? How do they look themselves in the mirror when they do something like that? Like, John Friend wasn't even – was doing nothing over the top. He was, like, essentially reading from the or reiterating what was coming out of the, like, the Israeli Times and, like, the Tel Aviv Daily and stuff like that. He was just, like, posting it on his site and, like, giving it his perspective on it. Like, oh, man. Like, I just
– But he was in a position that was reachable, so if someone is able to reach you and strike you down to silence you, I mean, we think we live in America, the land of the free. That is not necessarily true.
I know. It's just so sad.
I mean, that's probably the bravest act that's out there. People like Kyle and Dana and these guys putting their face out there and doing this stuff. I know several people have came and gone, whether, you know, your Tears, your Observers, your, you know, Siegfried, all these people, you know, that's a rough one. I don't know how those guys do that.
Yeah. Well, because that's like I said, I mean, obviously there's just a fine line that you walk, because there's a lot of people that have done it and they've done it successfully. But, I mean, like, you can't expect to have two crazy goals, right? Like, I mean, that's the same thing. That's why I try not to put David Duke on some huge pedestal because even though I do expect a lot of him. But at the same time, I mean, how much really can you accomplish? You can only accomplish so many. So many goals are only realistic. You know, that's why.
Well, the one thing I will leave you with when we're talking about these people, and if you put yourself on a pedestal and you're being – or put not on a pedestal, I'm sorry, that's the wrong word, but if you put yourself out there and you're visible and you're being attacked, but you're saying something, and you're saying you're being attacked for saying something, how free are we?
No, that's just it, right? Well, that's why it's so important that the more people do this, the better, right? Once again, like, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, we're not doing anything wrong, we're in the right, and that's why more people just need to have a little bit of a spine. When it comes to this, that's why I think a lot of this stuff is propaganda pieces, and they do play on people's fear, like this Bonehill character. You know,
right.
A lot of people have told me, you know, this guy was very shilly, and they got a bad feeling from this guy right off the get go. And so, you know, they say whatever, he did this with the weed eater picture, whatever. Now he's doing 3 years, like it's like they're signaling to people. They're saying, look, if you do this, we'll do that, you know? And I think it's they play on people's fear. But that's like with everything. People who are listening to Dr. Stephen Greer about UFOs and extraterrestrials and think that they've got underground documents on sophisticated alien technology that's being leaked, you know? And these people are like really paranoid and, you know, they do, you know, they take down their websites or they stop their, but it's the same thing, man. You know, there is stuff out there that they don't want people to know, and that all they got to do is, that's all I'm saying. I mean, it is what it is.
Well, I think there's one key. It's the Eskimos, buddy. That's all I'm going to
say. I know. Well, obviously, those guys are Eskimos. It's clearly. I know. You're absolutely right. Well, probably going to end this broadcast then here with you, but you haven't seen that Economist cover, Economist magazine. It's owned by the Rothschilds, and I thought the Rockefellers were part owners, but it's just the Rockefeller or the Rothschilds, and they show the front of the magazine, and it just has all this weird art and symbolism in it, and but like I said, these Paris attacks, clearly the dates were on the page. And I mean, you could say that that's the people were looking for it or whatever, but it's really creepy. And they have this Economist magazine from 1988 where they show a new world currency kind of rising from the ashes in 2018. So that's kind of interesting too. You know,
I kind of put up red flags when they put dates on anything, like you were saying, 2012, 2018.
True.
I mean,
true. But look at that Illuminati plating card. Look at the Illuminati playing card. Like that's pretty. The Illuminati playing cards are almost very eerie. Like there is a spiritual element to this, right? Like, I mean, people, you know, I'm sure at times in your life that, you know, you've whatever asked for certain things. And prayed to whoever you pray to, and you know certain things happen, and you kind of steer things. And there's definitely a good and bad. It's just a dualistic reality: up, down, left, right, white, black, dark, light. evil, good, Satan, God. And so all I'm saying is that there is kind of a supernatural element. So how much knowledge of this do people have, and how much are people able to peer into the future if these people are illuminated? Like, I know I'm sounding like a conspiracy theorist, but whatever, take it for what it is. I mean, there is definitely something else going on. It's just not, you know, all physical. It's not completely physical. Or maybe it is. Maybe there's nothing, and then we're born and we're here, and then it's just nothing again. Nothing, something, nothing. But I find that hard to believe. So
I would agree with that. But I would say this, and I don't mean to be narcissistic when I tell you this, sir. I don't pray for anything. I look at myself for resonance of what comes out of me. I don't look, and I'm not a victim of anybody. Everything I do,
yeah,
I strive to make myself, to push myself to be better. And I think that that is the Aryan way. And I don't think that I need somebody to come and solve my problems, or I don't need a great savior, because my folk are continued down all the way back from the lineage of the gods. And maybe I'm crazy for thinking that, but I consider that a weakness. And I consider men to be the strength that rises up in them. The tide that they rise is how they act, you know, not that we pray or ask somebody for help. It's that we rise up and solve our problems. That's what I look at.
So that was very good. And you can end that on that if you want. Oh, I'm glad you called in. What's your name? And do you want to tell me what state you are? Or maybe you're worried that they're going to come after you and get you.
I don't think they're going to come after me and get me, and I'm not worried about it. My name's Wayne, but it was nice talking to you, man. And I've traveled throughout a little bit in Canada. Obviously, don't know anything about Canada like you do, and have a little.
I don't know much about Canada either, really.
Australia too, with Mr. Surplus, and you know, traveled the several thousand miles throughout there, and it's a great country. It's great people.
Lucky
you guy. Know, strong. Strong people, those people there in the drought and the dry country, you know, the sunburnt country. I don't think they worry about praying. They get up every day and do what they got to do, strap their boots on and pick themselves up. You know, that's what we got to do.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Wayne. I really appreciate that. I'll let you go, and please call in again. I'm going
to,
like I said, I've only done 4 or 5 shows here, and that you've arguably been one of my best guests here. So thank you so much, and I will let you go. Cheers.
Nice talking to you.
All right, guys. I'm just going to put on a song here. I'm going to go grab one more beer. I'm going to read the news, and then I'm going to call it a night because I have to get up first thing in the morning. All right.
Because
All right, guys, I'm back. I was trying to check out the chat room there, but I don't know. I'm worried I'm just going to lose everybody, period. So I'm going to close it. Plus, I don't have my automatic account. Let's see, there's a couple people here that are calling in. I don't know. I didn't memorize what Buddy's number was. So I might just be getting Buddy back on the line here. But hopefully this is a new caller. Area code 205, are you there?
Yeah, buddy, I'm just listening in.
Oh, Jeb, I apologize. Okay, I'm going to memorize your number now so I don't fucking bug you anymore. All right, have a good one, Jeb.
All right. All right,
area code 619.
Area code 619.
All right, I didn't know. That's just funny because the two people called at the same time. All right, guys. All right, appreciate that. Cheers. All right, so I was checking out the chat room there. I can't remember how the guy in the chat room. It's something to play on some Jewish name like Shekelstein or Yahweh Shekelstein or something like that. And then Blunt and Bowden were all talking with fascist timing, but I couldn't read it. I don't know if my buddy's computer here is doesn't got. Flash loaded up on it. Let me see if I can go to Google and just kind of rant about some of the propaganda headlines here. I'm sure when I play this tomorrow, that was a really interesting conversation I had with that guy. But yeah, like once again, like I really got to stop talking about people because I don't like it. It's just it's a weird thing to just sit there and go and harp on about other individuals. I wouldn't like other people sitting there talking about me like that. So don't want to get in the habit of doing that. I don't want to be like the alt-right entertainment or where I talk about different personalities. I don't want to get labeled anything. I like doing satire. I've been thinking about some satire stuff I can do, but at the same time, I don't really want to get too into satire. Or is everything I'm doing satire? Dum dum dum. I'm just joking. Two Canadians injured in Las Vegas strip crash. Okay, this is what this guy was talking about. An Oregon woman who killed one woman and injured at least 35 pedestrians who she plowed her car into a crowd on a Las Vegas strip sidewalk on Sunday evening was driving with her license suspended. Bad girl. That's horrible. At least they're only injured and not dead. So this is what I was read. U.S. soldiers killed in suicide attack near Bagram, Afghanistan. So you would think that all the U.S. soldiers would have not GoPro cams, but something similar on them. I guess, is that too much in the budget, like for to have military personnel? Maybe these guys were special ops, but even if they were special ops, you'd think that they would have some kind of monitoring system on them in real time. So you'd get, I don't know if they have footage that's leaked from it. I guess they wouldn't really want to show that either. But then they show some stuff that you wonder why they show that. And then other things that you think that they would show and they don't show. So that's why it's really hard to tell what's propaganda, what's not. Well, I'm sure that whoever those people's families are, they'll be openly speaking about their sons that they lost, or maybe sons and daughters. Murder charged, laid an eight-year-old Alberta homicide. Oh, my God, that's so sad. I don't even want to read that. Miss Universe pageant. Okay, so this is what people have been talking about all day, is apparently Buddy from that show with the Family Feud. Someone was saying something funny happened where he, gave it to Miss Columbia, and it was supposed to be Miss Philippines, or it was Miss Philippines, and it was supposed to go to Miss Columbia, but then the one girl didn't speak English. As soon as I get off this, I'm going to watch that. It better be as entertaining as everyone makes it sound. 13-year-old boy arrested in deadly Matt McDonald's holdup, cries in court. Man, 13-year-old holding up convenience stores. I mean, that's pretty ballsy. Or do that when you're 13. It's always you see all the Canadian police busting all these people, doing this, doing that. It's when are we going to hear about them busting, politicians in high positions for committing, fraudulent activities against the public and victimizing, you know, public accounts and stuff like that, that we know that's going on every day, but I'm sure that we'll never hear about any of that stuff. I don't know about the Star Wars. I would like to be asking people about what their opinion is on the Star Wars movie. Of course, I get mine from the alternative boob tube, which is Alex Jones. He was going on and on about how much it fucking sucked. Whatever Kurt Nemo and whatever that other guy's name is, both of them look like fucking Jews, but that's okay. That sounds anti-Semitic, but no, both of them do. But anyways, they're both going on and on about Star Wars and how much it sucked. They're saying that it's just Disney just ruined it, and clearly they're just doing this to sell toys and such. So that's pretty shitty. That's clearly what their goal is. Other people said the special effects was really amazing, but the special effects should be amazing. I mean, with the size budget that they have, the special effects should be unbelievable, and the plot should be very, very entertaining, but apparently it wasn't. I'll have to go see it myself. I guess I'll have a little bit of a biased view going into the show. Yeah, like under the science and the health category, not very good stuff. SpaceX Falcon 9 launches from Cape Canaveral. But like I say, I'm not saying that I believe exactly 100% in flat Earth. I know how much people are going to hate me for bringing this up right now, but sometimes I wonder if we're on a spinning ball. I know that, you know, we launched rockets and we've launched the International Space Station apparently and all these satellites. I'm just saying that there's a giant lack of photographical evidence. You think if they were doing these things that they would just put cameras in these rockets, and they'd put them inside thick layers of glass or whatever, they'd be able to put them somewhere, or they'd be able to fly up a plane high enough where the plane would be, whatever, at 40 or 50,000 feet, that it would be able to, the camera from the ground would be able to see the rocket go up, and then it would switch to the camera that's in the airplane, and then, you know, you'd be able to watch it actually leave the atmosphere. But we never get to see that part. All we see is these fucking rockets go up, and then they start to curve, and then they go down, and it looks like, you know, most of them land in the water or something somewhere. So I don't know. They say that they're out in space in the International Space Station. We got this Canadian astronaut that claims he's doing all these wild things, like playing, you know, songs up in space and throwing hockey pucks around. But I don't know. I don't, like I said, if they were doing that stuff, they would just show us, you know. And if they went to the moon in whatever 64 or 67 or whatever year they claimed to have gone to the moon, they would just go back. You know, they wouldn't have just the last time they went and, you know, 74, people say, oh, well, why would they go back to the moon since 74? There's no movie theaters there. There's no strip clubs there. Well, yeah, good point. You know, they don't even have Dancing with the Stars on the moon. But, you know, they should probably go back. You know, they talk about going to Mars now. Like, fucking just forget about Mars. Just go back to the moon. Or just show us just breaking through the atmosphere. Just show us anything besides whatever the fuck you're showing us. Whatever you're showing us is bullshit. Part of my language, but I don't know. Sometimes I wonder about all this stuff. Maybe I'm just a conspiracy theorist, and I don't know. We know about the Eskimos and how at the end of the game they want anybody to be blamed but them. You know, if everyone finds out that we're not on some spinning ball and that, you know, the solar system isn't exponentially big and there's as many suns as there is grains of sand on all the beaches in the whole entire world, and that there's these planets in the Goldilocks area that are so far away from the sun but so close that they breed perfect conditions for life, and using Drake's equation we can find how many are in the solar system, and there's just an infinite amount of Earth-like planets. Yeah, like, I want to believe that. That sounds great. It makes us feel super small and super insignificant, like we have no purpose and we can't change anything. But it's probably the exact opposite. This Earth is probably, wherever we are or whatever we're on this plane, probably extremely intimate, probably some inside of some kind of Truman Show thing, some ultimate reality show, whatever, wherever we are. I don't know. Maybe we're just on a spinning ball. I don't know. Not claiming that I do know the answer. I'm just saying that people should be more vigilant, and they should question more. They shouldn't just have certain trigger words that they're like, yeah, I'm a pro-white and I love my race, but when you say the word flat earth, I need to leave the room. Like, that's just like, are you a fucking man or a child? Like, can you not have a fucking debate? Like, pardon my language again, but it just makes me mad. These guys, you know, they can say all this edgy stuff, but they can't talk about, they can't, you know, flirt with the idea of flat earth. But anyways, I won't talk about it anymore because I know how upset everyone gets about it. You know, they'd rather talk about, you know, their fucking snake phobia or whatever their, you know, how they're going to quit booze, but, you know, fucking, they don't want to talk about flat earth, anything but, and that was a joke. If anyone caught that, not attacking that person, I really like that person. But anyways, yeah, still 619 and 205, so it doesn't look like we have any more callers. If anyone wants to call in, Jasper, if you're there, I'll take your call, buddy. But I think that Kyle hooked you up with that, that whatever, that call-in pass. I think it's really expensive to call in for wherever you're from. But yeah, I'm just watching this footage of SpaceX launch, and it's just pretty shitty. You know, I like to have more edgy conversations. Like, they have all this literature from World War II, which is like really cool. And now it's all deemed racist and we can't talk about it, you know. Like, you know, black men will tell you all the time about how their reproducing organs are so much bigger. They won't say that, you know, that they'll just say my dick is so much bigger than, you know, white boys. But, you know, as soon as you start talking that on average that, you know, Caucasians, brain diameter per centimeter squared is on average larger than, you know, African or Negroid or even Mongoloid brain diameter centimeter per squared, you know, that's racist. Anytime white people have anything that's scientifically arguably better, it's racist. You know, we know about, they say black people got this special fucking bone that makes them run faster, you know. I'm like, yeah, black people are so fast and everything like that. We love how fast they are, but I don't. I'm sure you don't talk about it too much, but, you know, we'll never hear the end of it. So on and so forth. But, I think they're saying, like, I hear a lot of people using this word, Europid. I don't know how far that dates back, but I'm going to start reading up on that. I've only heard the word Caucasoid used scientifically when it comes to talking about our specific species, our race. But I guess there only is one race, as Kyle says. There's only one race, the human race, because we all bleed red. But he was just joking on Twitter. That's funny. Sometimes you gotta do the play devil's advocate and do satire on Twitter. And just start sounding like the leftists, blur the lines of reality. I got to change that 2016 Economist. It looks like I don't know how to spell, which sometimes I don't, depending on my mood. Oh, I can change it right here, right on the website. Now the question is can I change it to what it's supposed to be live in front of everyone? Yeah, I can. Of course I can. All right, guys, I think I'm going to wrap this up. Like I said, I got lots to do tomorrow. I got lots of physical work I gotta take care of, and I had a really shitty sleep last night, and I've been driving, you know, at least I think in the States it would be like equivalent to probably 100 miles, 150 miles today, so that's like whatever, 230, maybe 300 kilometers. Just seeing if I can see anything. Oh, Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin picks Turkey over U.S. as enemy. And, well, yeah, no shit. Like, obviously. And that's what I mean. Like, I really, as much as I like Vladimir Putin, as much as I like Trump, I'm pretty sure that he's part of the establishment. And that's too bad. I really hope that wasn't the case. But it looks like they're going to, you know, use this great Russian force. And everyone knows what color the Russians are, or, you know, the Western Russians, the predominantly their military, their air force, their navy is predominantly white, it's like 99.9% white. And these people are going to be portrayed as the bad guys. And yeah, their force is going to be decimated. You know, it's going to be another brothers war, just like in Ukraine, right now all these Ukrainian families are being destabilized, and you know, there's young Ukrainian kids that need a place to go, and you know, you'll never hear any leftist claim that we need to bring Ukrainian refugees into Europe or white South Africans into Europe, because that doesn't fit their narrative. And I know I talk about this all the time, but that's what we do. We just expose the double standards and how these people don't give a fuck about all the stuff that they claim to care about. You know, I don't bash Muslims, but at the same time, like, people got to realize that our cultures do clash. You know, you talk to the average Muslim man, he'll tell you openly, yeah, like our customs don't really, you know, work out too well with the societies that we have right now. You know, they stone homosexuals and stuff like that. Not saying that, you know, certain people agree with that, but we don't get a vote on that. The politicians just say, yeah, you got to be politically correct and everything like that. I don't really care what people do in their private rooms or whatever, but I might not agree with it. But, you know, you're free to do whatever you want as long as it doesn't affect, you know, me and my family directly. The problem is it is starting to affect people's families. It's starting to affect people in a roundabout way. And that's why we all need to just start speaking out and just having open discussions and just speaking more freely. And this will just start happening more organically, and not be pessimistic about things. That's what I was trying to get this whole topic today was going to be about, is not being pessimistic. Because it is super easy to get caught up in the fear. And I do it, you know, and it's bad. It's an easy thing to do. And as long as you remember that, you know, it's very simple to just expose the double standards, like I was saying earlier. All right, guys, that's going to be it. And I'm going to put on an outro song. Oh, I got another caller coming in here. 423 area code. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Is this Seth?
Yeah, what's up? This is Jimmy, isn't
it? Hey, how's it going, buddy? What's up?
What's up, man? You know what, Jim? I don't know who you are. Apparently, you're a longtime caller, contributor, and stuff like that. People have certain feelings they feel about you. You seem to be a pretty nice guy. And that whole thing you were saying about Brazil, in my opinion, you know, was a very valid statement. Like, I was just sitting there talking about how much I respect Kyle and all this stuff. But he'll respect my position to agree to disagree. And I do understand what you were saying. And like, I agree that there's a lot of people who essentially have a little bit of non-white blood, and they are some of the most nationalistic people. So I get the point that you were saying, but I just don't see what you're trying to accomplish by saying things like that. That's all.
Well, what I'm trying to do, here's the thing I'm trying to do. I mean, Aryan means noble. Is this not correct, Seth? Does not Aryan mean noble?
I mean, it would be up for debate. It depends who you ask. But there is certain descriptions of the word meaning that. Yes, you're correct.
Yeah. So I think that all peoples, whatever race, as long as they are noble, they should be part of our movement, part of our cause. That is my opinion. Now I'm not saying that, I mean, I am a white man and I love my race, okay? But I have known a lot of decent people who I would term Aryans who are not white. A lot of Asian Indians, you know, a lot of Chinese, even some Negroes, even a few Jews. But I'm saying this can't be a blanket statement saying, okay, Aryan is only, I mean, Aryan is partially biological. There's no doubt about that. But remember, the Hitler called the Japanese honorary Aryans. Remember that. So, I mean, I think the problem is, you know, as whites, we are a minority in the world now, and we probably will be for some time. Now, I think we have to live in this world with other races. Why alienate them? As long as a person is a good, honest person, you know, I mean, that's all that counts as far as I'm concerned, you know.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
No, I know. I'm just looking out the hotel of my hotel window right now. I'm looking at all the people, and I'm thinking, you know what? There's probably a lot of people that are non-whites and different people out there right now that, you know what? If they want to fucking fight white genocide and they want to stick up for whitey, I'm down for that. And really, that's what I try to tell people all the time, and they really don't want to fucking hear it. And I get it. I get it. Like, I understand.
I know.
People want these homogenous societies. Like, I get it, but we have to be realistic. And that's what I was just trying to say to some people the other day. Like, these people who just quote the mantra all the time, you know, like the mantra's great. I love the mantra. I like Bob Whitaker. You know, everything. Horace took that to a whole another level. I have a spot in my heart for Horace. I really like that person. I really liked him. He's such a great individual. But I truly believe it's only going to get us so far. It's only going to have us do certain things. And I hate to use that as an example, but, like, we have to be open to new ideas. And a lot of right. stuff that you were saying is really true, Jim. As much as I hate to admit it, it's true.
Yeah, well, and another thing, Seth, I mean, where do we draw the line about who is white and who is not white? There's so many.
Wow.
You go to these malls, sometimes it's very hard to tell. I mean, there's Greeks, there's Turks, there's Southern Italians. Sometimes it's very hard to tell. So, I mean, where do you draw the line?
I know you're right, and I have, like I said, I got buddies who are full-blown Greek, full-blown Italian, and, you know, they're darker than Angelo. But they, you would never know from the way they carry themselves and the way they act. And, you know, I mean,
right.
it's hard. You're right. And they say the same thing to me. They say, who's white? Are you going to dictate who's white? And it's so true. These are real
right.
things that people, and these are the discussions that people don't want to talk about. And like,
they
I get it.
They don't want to talk about it. See,
that's
like why
I was saying
people attack me because I bring it out and they don't want to deal with it. See, they attack me because they cannot answer that question. I say, who is white? They don't know. So they attack me. They, you know, so that's not right. You see, all I'm doing is bringing up a question. We need to talk about these things.
Trust me. I sit beside myself sometimes and I question and I ponder certain things. And I really question and debate how things are going to play out in real time. And that's why I say that people need to, some people go, what? People think my what I think is so extreme or what I do is so extreme. Well, you got to understand it from their point of view. Because at some point, someone is going to ask some realistic question. Like, who are we going to dictate? Yes, there's a freedom of association and so on and so forth. Like, I understand that. But when it comes to having these European homogenous societies, like, I don't know. It's true. I agree with you. But at the same point, it doesn't mean that we can get completely sidetracked and lose all focus, because that's very easy to do, too.
No.
You know, anyone can find a straw man, you know, oh, well, who's white? Well, who's black? Who's this? Who's that? I mean, that's very easy to do, too. But it's true. There is some certain things which I go, it's up for debate.
Exactly. I think eugenics is very important, because through eugenics, see, we can actually breed higher level people with higher spiritual and mental qualities. You know, I mean, eugenics was very popular 100 years ago. And, of course, you know, because of the defeat of the National Socialists of Germany in World War II, they threw all that stuff out, you know, and the Germans, you know, their whole idea was to have the best, most intelligent people have the most children. And, of course, our whole society is very dysgenic. And
sorry, I got to interrupt you. But this is the same debate that Sophia Smallstorm gets into. She goes, okay, so there's the people who say, okay, it's dysgenics or it's eugenics. And then there's the people who are in modern time right now that you're either reactionary or you're pro-actionary. And you say, okay, yeah, stab us with the thermosol vaccine. Dose us with the radiation with the microwave. Dose us with the fluoride. We're in this eugenics program, and people who prevail in these multicultural utopias are going to be the new products of this eugenics. But people say, no, that's not what's going on. They're actually lowering IQs, lowering fertility, lowering the standard of living, and that's what's going on. And it's I don't know. Sometimes I look at it from the other, because is the glass half empty or half full? And that's what it really comes down to.
Yes. Well, see, here's the thing. Now, the Jews have practiced eugenics selection for centuries. They've selected for certain quality. I mean, they're very intelligent verbally. I mean, so, but see, now the Jews have actually the highest verbal IQ of any race in the world. But now,
says who?
Verbal IQ. Okay. Now, if we were, as Aryans, were to use eugenics to select for positive qualities rather than negative qualities, Just think what we could do. I mean, we could take a clue from the Jews. See, they don't want us to use eugenics, but they have used eugenics all. And not only that, but you see, like during the rabbis have always had the most children. They've always been most intelligent. Whereas so many of the intelligent white men, they went into the priesthood during the Middle Ages and didn't have any children.
Well, people don't know that there's still laws from when the Hebrews brought over Irish slaves to Jamaica. There's still laws that the Hebrews had in that you cannot breed a African man with a Irish woman. To this day, these laws stand. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But apparently, because some of these eugenics programs that the Hebrews used to run was pretty edgy, pretty crazy stuff. Well, obviously, gingers are a product of eugenics, and the white race very well could be. I mean, white skin is recessive, blue eyes are recessive, blonde hair is recessive. So it's really the fact that we're here having this conversation right now is really a mathematical impossibility, yet we are here. And that's why it's so important to preserve our sound like a white supremacist, our uniqueness. That's what I'll use.
Well, you see, when you say preserve, I mean, nature is not static. It's always creating new races. If we could create a superior race out of, say, of a mixture of different races, I mean, the Jews have 5% Negro blood in them. They're the product of all the different races mixed together, and yet they have a superior intelligence verbally. But all I'm saying is I don't think it's so much mixing races, but mixing superior individuals of every race together, that will create a superior
race. Isn't that where Buddy came from, who wrote 1984 or whatever? What's his name? Who wrote that book? That's what they were doing back a while ago. They were taking the best and the brightest and breeding them together, and they found that it didn't work. Like, so they say. So they say they could. That could be a cover story, but they say that it doesn't work like that. Like genetics, they what you'll see is a lot of the times you'll see sometimes where a son looks like a carbon copy of his father, but then you'll see the another son will look nothing like him, but then he'll look be a carbon copy of his grandfather or his great grandfather, or a daughter will be look exactly like the mother, or one daughter will look nothing like the mother. So it's not like but you're right. Essentially, you could pick and choose and. Maybe. I don't know. That's how it works.
Well, I think that the different races have come from different galaxies. I think that the Palladians, like they're blonde, blue-eyed Nordic people, I think they seeded the Nordic race. And it's very possible.
Flat, Jim. I'm just joking.
Pardon me?
I'm sorry.
Was that?
I said not if the earth is flat. Sorry, continue. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. No, I'm saying I think that the Mongoloids came from a certain galaxy, but the Palladians were definitely blonde-haired, blue-eyed Nordics, and they seeded the Nordic race. Perhaps the Nordics that came here were to be a sacrificial race. In other words, to sacrifice their genes to raise up the entire humanity. And I don't know. This is just something I'm throwing out. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but it's a theory.
Right?
You know?
That's very speculative. That's like that's extremely speculative, right? That's like reading like excuse me, I've had a couple of beers. What's the guy, Zachariah Sitchin, who wrote The 12th Planet with he was reading, cuneiform on tablets and saying that the Anunnaki came and they spliced their genetics with the most advanced species that was on the planet, which was Homo erectus or Cro-Magnon. I mean, that's extremely speculative. Come on, Jim, for you to just say that, the Aryans came from the Palladians. Like, come on. Like, who are you to say stuff like that? You don't know.
I said the Nordics. The Nordics,
right,
are Palladians. Blonde, blue-eyed Nordics, yes.
But that's completely speculative, right? Someone had a dream and someone said, I seen them land in a UFO and they took me on their spaceship. Well, yeah, break off, fight one to the death and break his arm off and show me and maybe I'll believe you. But still, it's so so theoretical. I have to, I do this all the time where my mind gets the best of me and I got to bring myself back down to the ground, bring myself back down to reality and deal with what we're really fighting with. Because
you're right. We have to deal with both worlds. But, you know, you're talking about the, you know, the Muslims, I think. Weren't you, Seth, just before I called?
Well, go ahead. I mean, we got time
well,
now.
Well, what I feel is, and there was a very good show on last night, Kyle, and this lady talked about, paganism. And
it was a wonderful show.
I don't know if you saw it, heard it or not. But anyway, see, the whole problem with the Abrahamic religions, that's the, you know, Muslim, Christian, they posit a totally male God, and they don't have the goddess. And we need the feminine energy. That we need that goddess. You see, all our pagan religions have had goddesses as well as gods. That's very important.
I know.
The female energy, you see. And actually, the yogis, they
say
that... I know,
sometimes I wonder... I'm sorry to interrupt you. I apologize. I've got ADD, but sometimes I wonder if God or whatever, it's a divine feminine, it's a feminine energy. Like, sometimes I really wonder that, that's what try to tell some of these Christians that God's a woman or it's a divine feminine, they'd fucking have a heart attack. But sometimes I wonder, I guess that's the nature of duality. But I don't know. Sometimes I wonder. Okay. Anyways, continue. Sorry, Jim.
According to the Vedas, I mean, the Shakti is the female, and that is the active, and the male is the passive, you see. In other words, the female energy has been suppressed during the time we've had these Abrahamic religions, you see. In the new age that we're coming into, the female energy and the male energy will balance each other, because that's important. We have to have the balance of yin and yang, of male and female, of positive and negative.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there, and that's where these reactionary people, this is like I get geocentric and heliocentric mixed up, but one or the other, these people say that's why it's so good with the estrogen mimicking chemicals, because it's feminizing the man, and that's what we need. We need that feminized man, and then he's more in touch with his divine feminine. I don't know, but I see what you're saying, more on a spiritual level. You're not talking on a physical level.
On a spiritual level, I'm not talking about a material level. No. We need masculine men and feminine women. But the point I'm saying is that all the time we've had these Abrahamic religions have deceived us into thinking of that God is a male, totally a male God without the female, you see. And all your Aryan religions, every single one of them has the God and the goddess together. You see, that's very, very important.
I agree with you. That's what I can't remember. It was probably on a Red Ice podcast, and I remember them saying about how we've lost touch with our gods. I don't know who the guest was, but that we had lost touch with our pagan roots. And we used to idolize our gods and walk with our gods and treat them like, not walk with them, like literally, but maybe in a spiritual way, kind of. And they were like our brothers and our sisters. To me, that makes so much sense. And that's why people idolize all of these false idols, you know, like, I don't know, just the Miley Cyrus video that came out the other day. I don't want to digress from what you're talking about, but it's just what this must be doing to young girls. It's just changing, altering them, you know, these young women are idolizing this person as their idol is just so bad and destructive, and it's going to do irreversible damage. You know, even me myself, you know, growing up with, not having any identity, because that's what they do. They essentially have these white kids grow up, teaching them about all the horrible things of the Holocaust and slavery, and that we have no identity, and that we're racist, and then we have no culture. You know, these young white kids are just dying, looking anywhere, to be just begging for culture, and, you know, with the gangster rap, and it's just horrific. And I bought right into it, you know, and I was wearing the hats and dressing and talking like them and thinking it was great to treat women certain ways. And I look back at it now and I go, wow, like, who is that person? But that's why it's so, once again, it's so important what we have to do. Like, we have to continue to get people to have these discussions and talk more openly about it, because if we don't, we're going to be in big trouble. We're going to be in big trouble fast.
Exactly.
And that's, once again, like, I try not to be pessimistic, but that's why I think sometimes
I really think. I've wrote a lot of articles, like on the Renegade Tribune, And I got, you know, some people like them, other people criticize, but they would attack me ad hominemly. And they don't even know me, but they would attack me personally because of the articles I wrote. And that's ridiculous.
Jim, my heart goes to you, brother. My heart goes to you.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I know.
So anyway, well, I want to thank you, Seth. You're doing a great job, and you're one of the few hosts I think on Reddit. It really has an open mind, and I really do appreciate that.
Well, we'll see how long my open mind gets me. I'm trying to do my best. I'm trying to appeal to all people. I'm doing this because I care. I'm not doing this for any. I don't have any ulterior motive. You know what I mean? Like, I enjoy this. If it wasn't for Sinead triggering me that one time and, you know, kind of saying, you know, there's not enough people doing stuff, I wouldn't have done initial steps and she wouldn't have contacted me. And so, you know, I'm just happy to be doing this. And I hope that everyone else enjoys what they're doing and they're doing it for the right purposes. Because once again, I cannot stress how important this is. And I'm not trying to say that it's, you know, I'm doing more, this person's doing more, but we all have to do something. Whether it's just talk to the neighbor or whatever, talk at the church or talk at the town hall or write an article or do a podcast or a YouTube channel. Everyone has to contribute. Every view counts. Every share counts. Everything counts. I'm pessimistic. I think something over the top is going to happen before this presidential cycle. Things happen in cycles. I hope I'm wrong. I hope everything stays good. I hope this illusion of freedom continues to go on the way it is and we can wake people up slowly. I don't think that's the case. I think they're starting to catch on what people are doing and someone's going to pull out the rug from underneath these societies that we have. But who knows? I try not to be pessimistic. And that's why my
No, no,
my,
don't
my
be
title,
pessimistic.
I know. That's why my title is staying
because,
positive.
You have to be because, the thing is, On the astral plane, the dark forces have already been defeated. We're coming into a golden age of light, the age of the Aryan. This is the new age, okay? The dark forces are on the retreat. They know that their time is short, Seth, but we are living in a very positive time now, okay? So we have every reason to be optimistic. We have every reason to hope and expect that things will get better and better, okay? I am convinced of that.
Yeah, I know. You said that. You said that the other day. It's funny that you said that in 15 years. I have a pretty good memory, like photographic memory when it comes to certain things. But, you know, that really resonated me when you said that. You know, in 15 years, you really think that things are going to be different and we won't recognize how things are. Things will be so great. And I hope you're right, Jim. Like, I don't want people to think that for a second that I'm this kind of person that I hope that something bad's going to happen. You know, I don't hope that. I don't have very much hope for people when I look around, you know, and I know that running around yelling, you know, the sky is falling like chicken, whatever, you know, isn't going to help either. So there's only so much I can do too. So, that's why I'm just a little bit pessimistic about the situation. It's hard.
Yes.
But I hope you're right.
There's a lot of very advanced souls that are incarnating on the earth now because we're going through a lot of changes in the switch over from the Piscean to the Aquarian age.
All that stuff sounds great. It sounds like the Zeta Talk stuff and, you know, their predictions for this and that. And, you know, these people that channel people. And as much as I want to believe in some of it, it's hard for me to. Because once again, I know what's very physical about this reality. You wake up, you got to eat, you got to breathe, you got to drink water, whatever. You got to do certain things to stay alive in this physical reality that we live in. And I know that there is a spiritual element. I know it's very real. But at what point is it easy to get distracted? I got to go. I'm going to wrap this up. Someone's knocking on my hotel room door, so I got to go.
Okay.
Seth, all right, everybody.
Thanks again. I really like talking with you, and you are a true Aryan, brother.
All right. Thank you. You too, brother. Have a good one. Cheers.
You too. Bye.